The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word today. You know, my prayer, Lord, is that you remove your servant, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Thank you, Father, that you would teach me that others may be taught. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you convict us. And for those of us who need comfort, I pray you would comfort us. We praise you now in your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name. We all say,
praise God.
Praise God. John chapter 5. Last week we went into John chapter 6 on Easter Sunday and touched upon, are you hungry? The feeding of the 5,000. And what drives us? What is our motivating factors in our lives that allow us to be driven to truth or to a lie? You're hungry for something. And you had to decide what will be your greatest hunger. Mine is the word of Christ, the knowledge of God, and to be made like him. No other thinking, no other objects, no other persons, no other opportunities, no other anything comes before my relationship with Jesus Christ. You guys know me, you've seen me, and you have walked with me through the many years that we've been together. We'll not compromise on any aspect of God and his word. And today we're back in chapter 5 after the healing of the impotent man. 38 years. He could not move on his own. And God healed him like that. Kind of make those other faith healers seem awfully weak, doesn't it? 38 years of not using his muscles. And God spoke and they were strengthened. They picked up. Not only could walk, but he carried his bed. What was the reason why God asked him to pick up his bed? So he have no reason to lay back down. So when you get out of your sin, remove those things that will make you enter back into living a life of unholiness. So that brings us to verse 17. Now you guys know that we're just rolling through the book of John. Hopefully we'll get past one verse today. I'm going to change it up a little bit because the choir is here and we need to finish this particular section of 17. Through verse 32. Someone said miracle. Thank you very much. I believe in miracles. Is that secular? Well, that's a secular song. I better back off that. All right, all right. Verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worked hitherto, and I work. Wouldn't you hate to be around Jesus speaking Aramaic, Greek, throwing some Ebonics in there every now and then? I mean, would that just set you on fire? And he's throwing something at you that you just, I mean, it just seemed like it's out of the way. They're attacking him for healing on the Sabbath. You can't do that on the Sabbath. And if you do that on the Sabbath, you're breaking the law of God. Jesus says, no, I'm breaking the law of man. Jesus never broke any law of God, but he did break every law that man had added to the law. Every one of them. I had to go to Eastern Washington Thursday. What an excursion. I looked that word up to impress those of you that live on the east side. I don't know exactly what it means, but it sounded impressive, didn't it? I was on this excursion, this trip over to this opportunity that we had to go to Eastern Washington talking about marriage. And the night before, I was getting ready to go, and we had to get up early. Because, folks, that's about what, 3 hours, 3.5 hours over there? And I had to be there before noon to talk about marriage. Marriage. I broke my tooth. Just crack. Eating some ribs. But the greatest thing is I'm a man. I kept eating the ribs. Can I have an amen? I trust Jesus. And if Sherman would have come and picked up his ribs when he's supposed to, I still have a whole tooth. Stealing some of his ribs that was left. Now, if I was caught into legalism and into the Sabbath, I would have a problem. Because when I travel all day Thursday with that broken tooth. Spoke several times. Get in the car and had to drive back. So if I was Jewish and was holding to the Sabbath, I got to get that tooth fixed by when? By sunset Friday. Now, what if the dentist would have been busy and I was Jewish? Can I have an amen there, brother? Long weekend. Legalism will mess you up when it comes to common sense. Legalism was not the thing that Jesus dealt with a man that was laying down, and he never brought up his weakness. Jesus brought up, do you want to be obedient to what I'm asking you to do? God doesn't care about your weakness. He wants to know about your obedience. Now, if now I couldn't get in there, I got to suffer all day Saturday, and then my dentist is a Christian. Someone following me. So I can't do it on Saturday because of all the legalism. And my dentist won't do it on Sunday because of all the freedom. So then I had to wait to Monday, which would be tomorrow. Think I'd be able to preach? Oh, man. Don't be talking about, yeah. I'm able to eat. I didn't say nothing about preaching. Now, how important is it then, if my dentist is a Christian, I was Jewish, we got at least 2 days that we can't do anything. We're supposed to rest on the seventh day. We're going to talk about this in a moment. So how important is it in relationships for you guys to have the same religious belief and thinking? Christian married a non-Christian. Are you going to have some? No, you don't think so, because I'm evangelistically dating. How about one person, one religion, marrying someone of another religion? Love conquers all. Idiot. So just trying to put different beliefs together don't work. How about putting unbelief with Jesus? And that's why a lot of us Christians are beginning to understand that our Christian walk is more of a burden than a blessing. Because we're trying to walk with he who is the greatest belief in our unbelief. I call Christians that don't walk with God born again unbelievers. I pray we have none in this sanctuary today. In the church. Because you walked in, you made this building the church. For we are the church. But Jesus answered them after being attacked. My Father works and I work. It's not a claim. That's just a statement for the next six claims. Jesus says, I'm going to sit you up. I want you to understand you're going to get busted. Love you, but here it comes. My Father works and I work. There's some serious, they thought they was mad at Jesus because of the Sabbath. Have you ever heard this one? Jesus never claimed to be God. Duh. Wrong. Everyone down there when he was walking around for 3 years understood what he was saying. That's why they killed him. Only one's ever been killed because of what he said instead of what he did. You see, my peoples, Jesus said God worked for 6 days, created everything, rested on the seventh day, but rest biblically is not doing anything. Rest can mean getting more busy without getting burned out. Yeah, I love this one. Christians, I'm just burned out. Maybe you've been doing it on your own efforts. I'm just tired. You know, even Jesus and God took time. And who created everything? Jesus. Did God the Father create anything? No. Did the Holy Spirit create anything? No. So who created everything? Jesus, I rested. They understood what he was saying. But we still work on the seventh day after I created everything. I worked to hold it all together. Somebody get a pastor, amen. Was that just as important as making it? Make it stay the same? So they was a little uptight about Jesus. My Father works, so do I. Claim number one. Are you ready? Verse 19 and 20. Well, I guess I better read 18, Hutchinson, get out of the way. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, which was bad enough for your legalists, but said also that God was his Father, making himself almost equal with God.
No, sir. That's
what it says in Hebrew. You know, the white guy would say, what does it say in Greek? When you got the pulpit, you speak the way you want to speak. In Greek, he said, I am equal with the Father. That's it. He is saying he is equal with God. If you're going to be equal with God, that kind of makes sense that you better be God. But there's a lot of people out there that make their own gods that they want to make equal with the God. But you know what happened with the gods you make when you try to put it to the God of the only one? Failure. Failure. And even if you live any way you want to, you're still going to fail. Especially when you see him face to face. And I can just see it right now. Okay, would you and your God step up here? You will be the Winnie at the roast. First claim, verse 19 and 20, I am equal with God. So just in case you was wondering if he said this, let's remind each other, he said this. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, watch out! When they put out a verily, verily, I'm going to start trying that at home. My kid's going to walk up and say, Dad, can I do something? Verily, verily. In other words, you better listen to what I'm getting ready to say. I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever things he does, these also does the Son in the same manner. For the Father loves the Son and showed him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Is our Lord and Savior cool? Is he on it? Is he worried about what people think? I don't think so. He wants you to love him. He wants to love you. But there are limits to what God would do with you if you won't repent. I look at what the God does, and I do the same. What he shows me to do, I do. Do we have that same response? Do we live that same way? The Bible says don't do this, so we don't do that. The Bible says you must do this, so we must do that. The Bible says you must think this way, then we must think that way. The Bible says you cannot think that way, we cannot think that way. As the Father shows us, do we do that? Jesus is our example. He did it. Some of you are looking at me like, what does that mean? Whatever the Father does, he does. Let me see here. LeBron James. Can I get an amen, somebody? Woo! Zam! Backwards, forward, sideways, making points. I go, even with cancer, I can do that. I walk out on the court. Bam! Slam in your face, sideways, back and forward. Ow! Because I am the same as LeBron James. Smoking on the basketball court. But if you don't accept Jesus, he's going to be smoking another way. Can I have an amen? Tim Tebow was the most famous white Bronco since OJ. Can I have an amen? I wait for a minute for y'all to get that one. Church is real slow. There's still some of the students from Liberty going. If I come back five games while I'm down, no way to win the last seconds. Whew. Pastor Hutch. Yes, sir. Everything Tim Tebow can do, Hutchie Poo can do. That makes me equal with Tim Tebow. Mr. Lynn in New York. God's got something on cue for New York, right? Send two of the top Christian athletes to New York. Pray for New York. Don't pray for Tim and Lynn. They know Jesus. Pray for New York. Why? Because we are supposed to make a tremendous difference if we're going to do what we see Christ do. Wherever we are. I see the Father do it. I do it. I see what he's working on. I work on it. How many of you are excited about doing God's will? I didn't say your will for God. I said, God's will. Oh, man, we got to speed up. Is the choir going to sing afterwards or not? You going to sing afterwards? Because we gotta bless you guys, don't we? Okay. They bless us. We got to bless them. Okay. Verse 21. I am the giver of life. Second claim of Jesus. First claim is what? I am equal with God. Second claim, I give life. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Does God the Father give life? Okay, let's see. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and giveth them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he wills. Oh, my. I'm the giver of life just like God, because I am God. What if God the Father and Jesus Christ had an argument about who they should give life to? You know, like denominations. Is God the author of confusion? Then why are we so confused in Christian circles? Why is it you can go to one church that got the same Bible, and you can hear something totally different about salvation. Same Bible. You can go to one place and you can hear one teaching about healing and another teaching about healing somewhere else. God is the God of healing. He heals. But you know, a lot of people base it strictly on your faith. Not. It's based upon believing God can heal and trusting him to do it. And if he doesn't, you better rejoice the same way. 11 years. I've been praising God for this cancer. I call it Reverend Cancer. It's my pastor. Cancer is my discipler. Is God sovereign?
Amen.
Or am I weak in faith?
No, sir.
I don't think there's any arguments between God the Father and God the Son. And the Holy Spirit is right in the middle of you and I to help us understand what the Father and the Son agrees on. And we need to agree on the same thing. That's his claim. I give life. If I give life, to whom I please. And if you do it this way, I'm pleased to give you life. If you try to do it in any other way, Bill Maher. Anyone ever heard of Bill Maher? Three times we're supposed to get together and debate. Three times. And every time he calls, no problem. I'll get together with you, but it's got to be one-on-one. You're not going to have three or four different people and me and maybe one other by ourselves. No, just you and I. Because he thinks I'm narrow-minded. He's going to be surprised if we have a debate, because I'm going to let him know I am. Can I have an amen? Amen? I think God says the street to him is straight and
narrow.
What?
Narrow.
Am I? That's the wrong move. Straight and narrow,
yes, sir.
With no detours. God the Father and God the Son—they're not going to disagree on who's going to have life and not have life. Like us as churches and us as Christians and us as denominations and us as theological schools and seminaries and everything else. It's the word of God. Man, do you understand? I'm out of time with the first two claims. Out of time. What's the first claim? Jesus said, I am equal with God. Second claim, I can give life. Watch when we start talking about that. You guys enjoyed the chairs last week? Those were rentals. We are waiting for the real deal on Mother's Day. Someone say amen to the family. Those chairs there was nothing. Especially when you see my recliner. It's an ejector chair for anyone that gets in it. Choir, choir. Are you ready? I guess not. They didn't say nothing. Y'all, but you better speak up, because if I come up and sing with you, y'all just going to quit. Ushers, would you please come? Mom, where you going? I did that to the woman who brought me in the world. I'm gonna pay for that, boy. She's not gonna give me a cake today, but I got one in the freezer. She's gonna get that cake to Sharon Smith. That's why they call you a Hutchite. We want to bless the choir, amen. Ushers, where are you? Bring up some tubs, trash cans. We want lots of money. We want to give them a love offering for coming out, sharing with us, being with us, giving us praise. Those of you, we didn't have any visitors, did we? None raised a hand in this. That's a surprise. That's, wow. That's a real surprise. At the end of the service, when the choir finish, we will finish, but make sure you go and say thank you as best you can to them. And pray for them, for what they'll be doing this evening, bringing glory to God at the concert. Thank Dr. Newby for arranging so they can be with us today. Father, thank you for your word. It is an awesome word, in spite of us, in the place of us, because of you. We know you are equal with God, Jesus. We know you're the giver of life, and I thank you for the life you've given me. Everything, every way, the good times, what the world would call bad, but we know Romans 8 says there's nothing bad that can happen to a Christian. It's for your good to make us like you. It's good when it comes from you. In Jesus' name we all say.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.